Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast.
If you like a lot of wrestling on YouTube, don't look at the news. Hello and welcome to the only video series online that is completely ignoring the outside world, ignoring everything that's happened apart from wrestling and silly bollocks from the 90s. Yes, it's Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast time. Your host, Mafu, with various posters. And has grown a beard due to one person DMing me saying, can you grow your beard? And I said, yes. Now I'm looking at myself. I look like a posh cane dingle. Thank you for that. And joined as always on the podcast is Jack the Jobber. How you doing, pal?
I'm good. Growing a beard as well. That's me. That's
what
I can do. Yeah, yeah. No, just desperately waiting for a haircut and for the pubs to open again. It's getting me down now. It's getting me down. How are you, Matthew?
I'm grand, thank you. I appreciate the thought. But there's someone else on the podcast we've got to introduce, and his name is Ross Twiddell. Ross, how you doing?
I'm lovely, Matthew. Not growing a beard because I can't. But apart from that, I just ticking along. Couldn't be better under the circumstances. How are you?
I'm coping, which is the best thing we can do right now. But wait a minute, Ross, you've never grown a beard.
I've tried, Matthew, but it didn't work. Apparently, I had the basis of a lovely beard, but I couldn't get through that awkward, you know, that awkward phase where it's a mess.
Oh, that awkward second album.
I'm ugly enough without having to put through
that
as well.
Shut up.
I thought Ross looked, when Ross had his beard, I thought he looked a bit like, you know, on Futurama when Bender's hungover and he's got rust across his chin. No, I'm not. It's not horrible. I thought that was quite an accurate. No, I'm not trying to be a dick.
Your rusty beard.
It was coming through ginger. No, against gingers, of course. It's a lovely, lovely shape.
It's just that one bit of ginger. That you're right, it does look like a rusted beard. So, anyway, that's the news of Ross's beard. The news in wrestling. Bugger. let's see. Last week it emerged that Jinder Mahal had to undergo surgery for a knee injury he suffered and will be out of action for another prolonged period of time. This came just a few weeks after Mahal returned, after 10 months out from injury. That's pretty bad, lad. I know a lot of people are very excited to see Jinder Mahal, but what about you, Jack?
Yeah, I feel bad for him because he'd been out for so long. Apparently the surgery was meant to be a minor one, but then it turned out to be more complicated than they thought. So now he's properly out for a while. It's just a shame, isn't it?
It is. I've decided it is, any thoughts there, Ross? I know he's one of your boys.
I was quite intrigued by Jinder's return because he cut that promo, didn't he, where he looked like a baby face. He was speaking about his ascension back to the top being a story of whatever he called it. I can't remember the word he used, but it looked like a baby face promo and a new direction for Jinder that we won't see for quite some time. But then again, they were saying it was going to be him versus Drew in the summer, so that wouldn't lend to him being a baby face. Who knows what they were going to do? Yeah, it's a shame. It's a massive shame. Never like to see people get injured, do you?
No. But if he grew your beard, he'd be Jinder Mahal. Jeff Jarrett's lawsuit against Anthem and Impact Wrestling is set to go to trial at the end of the month after attempts to settle it failed. Yes, this is still happening. Apparently, it's been a long and complicated lawsuit. Apparently, one of the interesting cases in this is the debate on whether pro wrestling is sport or entertainment. And that the jury will have to decide which, in regards to this case, wrestling is. Good luck there. And in sad news, Bill Apter and the NWA have both announced the death of Johnny Walker, better known as Heyday as Mr. Wrestling 2. But compared to other weeks, this is actually all right news because he was 85 and he had a hell of a life and a hell of a career. So
fair enough.
And for example, to show how old this guy is, any ideas or thoughts on Mr. Wrestling 2?
I don't know enough about him. I can't say. But they made a reference to him on Dynamite this week and everyone seemed to enjoy it on commentary. So I'm assuming he was quite a popular guy.
Oh, Jim Ross probably gave him lifts to the arena when he was a kid, so that's nice. but yeah, it's always nice to see a normal death now. It's like, oh, 85-year-old legend dying peacefully. That's great. You love to see it. And that's all the news I have from my notes. What does Jack have for us on my phone? Nothing. Great. I'm glad I did the news then.
Yeah, I do. No, I do. I've got
the news is NXT. That's NXT.
Recap a takeover in your house with Todd Pettingill.
That's right. They dug him out from wherever he's been staying all these years. Looks like Gary Shandling now. It's a good look.
I thought he was brilliant.
He played his part well, which he did do very well in 95. It's just sometimes you didn't want a Todd sandwich, so to speak. Sometimes you want to choke Todd rather than listen to him speak. But he was very good at what he was told to do. And so I have a brief run down the card here. At NXT TakeOver in your house, and sticking to the in your house formula, not only did they have the old set and the themes and the promotional consideration paid for the following and all the rest, it was only 2 hours with change. I was so happy. Already liking it. Already high praise for me for being only 2 hours long. And the opener, Tegan Nox, Mae Yim, and Shotzi Blackheart beat Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. It's a nice 10-minute match that didn't outstay its welcome. Anything to add or something like that? That's fine. Finn Balor beat Damian Priest. Another match that only went 12 minutes. 12 minutes, as you mean to say. Nice.
Damian Priest. That was a good match.
He tried to use the big steel steps. Didn't work. Land on it. Owl me back. And that led to the finish. I'm like, this is great. NXT's learned from its mistakes. Yay, so happy. And then Keith Lee beat Johnny Gargano in a match that apparently went 20 minutes. I was clean shaven by the when it started. So I was not a fan of this match, but I'll save my negativity for afterwards. What did you think, Ross?
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's my personal thing. I never cared about Gargano as a babyface when it wasn't against Ciampa. I was in that camp, which I got torn apart for having that opinion on the NXT Championship tier ranking. So up yours, people who don't agree with my opinion. That's a backward thing to say. Anyway, Gargano as a heel is fantastic, and the sort of juxtaposition of the little guy being the heel and the big guy being the baby face and the stuff with the keys and the door. I enjoyed all of that. It was a great match. I really enjoyed it, Matthew.
Jack, you like Johnny. What do you think?
I enjoyed the wrestling in the match, but there were bits outside of the moves that I didn't enjoy as much, like the Johnny trying to escape through the door. Why would you try and run away from a title match when you're not the champion? I didn't like that.
To get a frying pan.
Was it to get a weapon?
I don't know.
Get that portrait that of the Doc Hendricks.
What was the other bit I didn't like? The finish, I think, was a bit rushed. It was like, Candice is there, and now Mia Yim's there, and it's all kicking off. But I thought the rest in itself was good because they're both very good athletes.
I'll agree with some of that. The finish sucked. First of all, they've got those hockey glass things around the arena. I was completely redundant because Keith Lee did the powerbomb through it. And so everyone's got now. Fantastic. And so they went out. He dragged them back in, sneezing on everybody as he went. Thanks, Keith. Dragged him in. He worked on his arm for about 5 minutes. Gargano ignored that. Gargano shoved his car keys into his eye. He ignored that. Then his wifey came out. He ignored that. Kicked out a 3 super kicks to the head. Ignored that. And he just did his finisher and won. Crap.
Whoa.
Nah, I hate that. I hate Johnny Gargano. But on the positive side, the fact that it was 2 hours and a bit meant they could only have one of these wank matches. So it was great, great. They kept all for one match. Woohoo! So if you skip this, it was a 5-star show. Karrion Kross beat Tommaso Ciampa. He battered him like an egg. What thought said, Jack?
He battered him like an egg.
That's right.
Like a Scotch egg.
Finally, a battered egg.
I said it.
Yeah, I thought it was the right thing to do, wasn't it? Because Ciampa's been built up as this huge resilient. Like Gargano, he kicks out of everything. And then to have a big guy come in and just destroy him, I thought it was exactly the right thing to do. What do you think?
Liked it. Did Ross like it?
I loved it, me. It was exactly what it had to be.
Good times. Adam Cole beat Velveteen Dream. Now, this is a very decisive... straight away. Very decisive opinion online. Either you liked it or you kind of liked it, I guess. So, Jack, you made a little noise there. Maybe smile. You can go first.
Well, watching it with Owen, he is more of a technically minded person than I am at Cultaholic. He's obviously an editor. I'm more of a stupid caveman presenter. I don't understand technology. But even I agreed with him when he said, this is hard to watch because the camera, the production was like sloppy. Like the camera was all over the place. The headlights of the cars were distracting quite a lot of the time. And some of the jokes just didn't land as well. What was that Uber about? No. Yeah, there was an Uber.
No idea.
No. Ross, what did you think?
I think we already knew that NXT probably shouldn't do these cinematic matches after Gargano versus Ciampa. But this rubber stamped that point and then some. They tried to do it in a certain style. And as you say, it was very distracting and hard to watch. And the Uber Gaga didn't get. I liked the bit with Dexter Lumis coming in and just abducting two human beings. That was fantastic because it's wrestling, it's silly bollocks. And it fit Dexter Lumis lovely. I liked the bit where Adam Cole went through the windshield. That was gnarly and all sorts of and all that malarkey. But by and large, I just thought it didn't quite achieve what it was trying to, which is a bit of a shame. Matthew?
Pro Dexter Lumis kidnapping the Undisputed Era. Hopefully whatever basement they're hanging from there, they kept for a while. And yes, it was very badly done. It looked shocking. The camera cuts, which the Reeves product gets criticized a lot for, made this just insanely, or as you said, production-wise, you're like, do they think this looked good? But not very good. Some people died. However, I'll still take that over watching any more Cole versus Dream matches. So it sucked, but it could have been worse. Optimism. And then in the main event, Io Shirai defeated Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. And here's this week's running gag. Take a shot every time she's mentioned. Cool. I thought it was a very enjoyable main event. I thought it looked like a main event. It felt like a main event. And that's all I wanted. Moonsault at the end looked pretty awful, but luckily Rhea Ripley's doing all right, according to Triple H in his phone call afterwards, where he pretends to care about podcasters on Twitter. Any thoughts there, Ross?
Yeah, just I was sure I was. That was, you know, she should have won and she did. She had a couple of massive moments in the match, the splash off the top of the house, which someone had to do it, and I'm glad it was her. Yeah, I enjoyed the match from start to finish, I did. Jack.
Yeah, I fully agree. I thought it was the best match of the night. Narrowly edging out. Priest and Balor actually was really good, but I think this main event was the best match of the night, and I thought it was the right result as well. We'll talk about it later on, but they didn't need to rehabilitate Charlotte as much as they did, because I don't think she got hurt by losing this belt. But this week, she absolutely destroyed everyone. but for NXT, it's good, because I think Io Shirai is fantastic and she's a good champion.
Good time. So I thought overall it was good. And I regret, though, not saying, describe the match, the main event, Io Shirai, NXT, off your house.
Oh, off, right.
Let's go to the next segment.
Everybody get excited for the Cultaholic Hall of Fame.
Now it's time for everyone's favourite segment, the Hall of Fame. And in condescending order from last week, in third place, Kyle O'Reilly's Fashion Sense. 25%, because obviously if there's one thing we guys know more than wrestling and 90s stuff, it's Fashion Sense. Woods, Cole, Cesaro and Breezes, Where the Party At, Lip Sync. 32%. Ooh, it's a bad miss, but what a win. The What Will Mongo Do Next Twitter account. Yes, 43%. Yes. What will Mongo do? He'll help me win. Thank you very much, Mongo. Checks in the post, and thank you much for voting. As the winner of last week's, I had to think very hard to think of something positive this week, because it's, you know, I think if I hadn't seen this one, this week's entry for me would have been sleeping, because it's the only thing I've done that's been enjoyable. There is another Twitter account It's almost as good as Mongo's. Almost. Sequels are never as good as the originals. That is called The Masterful Adventures of Sid. This is Psycho Sid, Sid Justice, whatever you would call him. Don't call him late for dinner. And it's just random clips from one of the most interesting guys in the world of American wrestling. And you think of what that covers, you know, what an interesting guy he was. Would leave immediately after huge pushes, whatever. Maybe he left off some pusses too. In WWF in 92 and 97. And he's most known for some people who like to look back at old crap wrestling. And there are a lot of them. He's become like a joke there because so many segments he did that have become legendary. Like when Goldberg has his car crash.
Why?
To get to your car. Oh my God, Goldberg! You are twice the man I am, but I have half the brain that you have. It's just very entertaining. And I think everybody right now needs a daily dose of Sid. So that's my pick. Ross, what's your pick?
I'll be following that account after this podcast, that's for sure. I love Sid, me. Anyway, as we all rejoiced at the sight of that house at NXT TakeOver, Off Your House, on Sunday night. So in that vein, and with Backlash coming up this weekend, I'm going for the Backlash Hooks. I know they're not going to come back, but I would love to see them come back. How they would always part when someone would walk through them, that was a lovely touch every time. But the Backlash Hooks are something that should come back, but won't come back. And since they won't come back, let's celebrate them in the Hall of Fame.
Whoosh. Do you remember when they did the Hardcore Battle Royal? I'm not sure what it was, a Backlash, and the Hardy Boys were in it, and they swung off it.
Yeah.
They were one of the people. Oh, good times.
Love the Hooks.
Jack, there's... I'm not saying you've got high expectations here, lad, but I mean, if you want to win...
That pick that Ross has just made there is what this Hall of Fame is all about, really, for me. That's a quintessential Cultaholic Hall of Fame pick. I'm going to go for Io Shirai for making me look like a genius, honestly. We got a question in the mailbag just the other week, what very specific wrestling prediction have you correctly made? And I got one straight after. I predicted exactly how the finish of that match was going to go. So for making me look really clever, I'm going to go for Io Shirai for that moonsault onto Rhea's head while she was caught in the figure eight. So I'm going for Io. And she's got a banger of a theme song as well. Two reasons there.
Three very interesting picks. Love to see it. So if you'd like to see who wins the Hall of Fame, you can vote in the Hall of Fame. You can make this a thing by going to patreon.com/cultaholic, and you can vote for either the Sid account, you get the right name, it's called @mybuddysid. Some people struggled to find the Mongo one last week. Apparently there's a bunch of people called Mongo out in the world. My Buddy Sid, the Backlash Hooks, whoosh, or Io Shirai, in brackets making Jack look smart. So there's your picks, take your fancy, and we'll see you next week with the results.
This is This Week in the Wrestling. It's This Bloody Week in the Wrestling.
This Week in Wrestling.
Ah.
SmackDown. One day we'll do this and SmackDown won't be there. It'll be the best podcast we'll ever do. Jeff Hardy explains what happened last week. He was knocked unconscious and framed. I can tell you what happened this week as well. I watched 5 minutes of SmackDown and switched it off. At the police station, he found out that witnesses saw a suspect with red hair and a red beard. Ross. Sheamus comes out and blames Jeff. Calls him a junkie, etc. Ooh. They brawl, and Sheamus gets the better of it. Oh, that's a bit embarrassing, isn't it, really? Someone calls you all those names and he beats you up. Mm. Like, aye, fair point, mate. Any thoughts on this, Ross?
Matthew, I'm asking the question straight away. If witnesses saw a red beard and red hair, why has Sheamus not been questioned by the police? This needs to be addressed. Come on, there's a big plot hole here. We've gone down this route with the real life aspects of this storyline. We sort of pulled it back a bit when Jeff was out and he'd been framed clearly and Sheamus was to blame. They've continued to go down this route. I don't know what to think of it, Matthew, to be honest with you. I don't know what to say. I'll see how it plays out. That's what I've got to say. It's a bit crap, really. Why do people watch this podcast?
I agree. I agree. Cut that bit out. It's a bit crap, really. Then the one week you're not here, we could just use that audio soundbite for all of SmackDown. Otis steals Corbin's cape and crown before beating him via DQ. He beats up Corbin afterwards. The wee scamp.
What a heel. What an arsehole.
Later, Mandy distracts Sonya from the Tron, costing her a match against Lacey Evans. Oh, you've obviously got lots of opinions on this, Jack. What do you think of the wee scamp?
I don't want a feud between Otis and Corbin, to be honest with you, Matthew. I don't want that at all. But at least Otis won. Yes, it was by DQ, but at least he got the better of it in the end. Ross.
King Corbin is not a real king. You don't leave your cape and crown lying around just for other people to put their hands on and then get angry when somebody does pick up a very expensive crown. It's 101, Matthew. It's the first page of the handbook. That's my thoughts on the segment. Otis can't be blamed here.
You know better than me. Miz and Morrison pulls several hilarious pranks.
How weird is that? It's just hit me there that he was a king for 2 years. I'm like, what? When does, do you find it weird, Ross, looking back?
No, not so much weird, just regretful.
Okay.
Oh no, we'll have to go back to SmackDown now. Miz and Morrison pulls several hilarious pranks on Braun Strowman until he finds their surveillance van and flips it over. I saw clips of this. Get your own back making a comeback.
Don't say you're rolling your eyes at the Miz and Morrison though, Mafu.
Miz and Morrison used to be like, they'd stand out so much from the other WWE writing because they would sound like they were living in reality land. This is crap.
Is it not the point, though? Are we not supposed to be going, oh, those two pricks doing their childish things? I hope Braun gets them. Is that not the whole point of what they were doing? I thought it was funny, me.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Through that lens, you know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't actually think it was funny.
crap in a crap way, I'll go with. But I'm being negative. Jack, what did you think?
No, I didn't like it either, to be honest.
Oh, so much for that.
I thought it dominated quite a lot of the show as well.
I hope it was George's van. And George's surveillance kit. It's what George does on a Sunday afternoon.
Brian and Styles exchange words before their tournament final match for the IC title. Drew Gulak, the unfired Drew Gulak, faces Styles and shockingly beats him. Wow. And that was it. And then Bayley and Sasha win the women's tag belt from Bliss and Cross. Bayley dos straps, which is
Bayley dos straps.
Bayley two straps. Yeah,
she's been calling herself Bayley dos straps online. It's brilliant.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Surprising thing here. I thought Bliss and Cross were going to have the thing with the Iconics, and then this has happened. I don't know what to believe anymore, Jack. What's happening?
Me? I couldn't hear who you'd asked there. Was it me?
Yes.
Right. Well, I'm assuming that Sasha and Bayley are going to, at some point, maybe not this weekend, but at some point, lose the belts to the Iconics or Bliss and Cross. And then that'll lead into Bayley versus Sasha and Bliss and Cross versus the Iconics. But I don't know. Who knows? What do you think?
Oh, well, I just looked and said, yeah, on Raw, there's the three-way that's been announced, so maybe I should have...
Oh, well, right.
We should keep our thoughts until we announce this bit. On Raw, wow, Sasha and Bayley open the show and get themselves in a three-way tag match with the Iconics and Asuka and Charlotte. Asuka and Charlotte win, woohoo, before Charlotte attacks Asuka and stands tall. Later, Charlotte beats Asuka, meaning one night after losing the NXT Championship, she's beaten the Raw, SmackDown, and Tag Team Champions of the Women's Division. Ross, say something while I do the joke.
You have to keep drinking as long as I'm speaking, Matthew. I can't think of what...
was a lot of victories, yeah, you're right.
This whole Charlotte thing, it seemed to set off with one intention, obviously, to get more eyes on NXT, but all it's done is make Charlotte look better at the benefit of absolutely nobody else, NXT included. And it's utterly baffling. She wasn't arsed that she lost the NXT Women's title. Nobody she wrestled on NXT seemed to get the better of her whatsoever. She's come back to Raw. She's got the better of Asuka. I mean... I'm a fan of Charlotte Flair. I think it's a bit of a shame that she is so over-saturated, I guess is the word, but this, surely she must take a step back at one point and go, hang on a second, lads and lasses. This isn't helping anybody but me. What? How, I don't know what to think of it. It's just, yeah, they don't help Charlotte whatsoever, which is a bit of a shame for me.
Hmm. Jack.
Are they trying to get her to be a 16-time champion? Is probably. That it?
Like yeah. Who?
Like her dad? Awesome. Bloke just looked right in the window there. Oh.
Oh, oh no.
Is it Dexter Loomis?
No. He's walked past. It's all right. Okay. So sorry. That's why. Oh no, he's going back the other way. Oh no, that's a different bloke. That's why. Yeah, so Charlotte winning too much. There you go. Sorry.
Ah, it's a shame. We should have Charlotte on this show just so she can be every... We should call it the Charlotte Weekly Podcast this week. This show, she's doing very well. And yeah, look, there's lots of great talents in WWE. I can't think of any of them I want to see every single week on every single show they do. That's ridiculous. No. Rey Mysterio does a follow-up Skype interview, nothing but the best for WWE, and argues with Seth. Seth then gets jumped by Aleister Black, who teams with Carrillo to beat Rollins' henchmen. Murphy and Theory get their heat back because Seth comes out to Mysterio's music with his mask on. Nothing like what Nia Jax did last week with the mask and whatever. Whoa, he totally owned you there, it says here.
Well, yeah, I don't get the point of it. It was weird. It was really weird.
They thought especially it was Rey. They thought it was Rey. They saw Seth in the suit 1 second, then they saw a guy in the mask with the same suit on and thought it was Rey. It was a flawless plan. Flawless. No, yeah.
Do you ever see in WCW when they do people dressed up as Sting and Kevin Nash did it one time? And the commentators had to be like, Sting's here. And he's grown a foot and a half. Good times. Christian is here with the Peep Show. No, not that Peep Show. His guest is Edge, whom he cuts an intense promo on. It's good. Orton interrupts and says he's going to embarrass Edge at Backlash in the greatest wrestling match ever. Oh, that was it. I think we were talking before this. I'm going to talk about it later on. It's a big question anyway. But yeah, what did you think of this promo, Ross?
I really enjoyed it. I didn't expect it to go the way that it did, although it did flip to the other side a bit too quickly. Like he was giving Edge the hard truths and calling him out, this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's the Edge I want to see with his eyes. Those eyes he has. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I like the direction it went. It didn't get me any more excited for this match because I still think that the tagline is a load of bollocks and it set them up for failure when he didn't have to do that. We'll talk about that more later. But yeah, it was a nice podcast. A nice promo for what it was. Sorry.
No, it is a nice podcast. You're right.
Wow. What a nice promo.
Andrade wins a triple threat match to become the number one contender to Apollo Crews' US title. Any thoughts there, Jack? That's what I'm asking.
I hope that Andrade loses because I want him to get a push and be nearer the top of the card. And I think Apollo is doing really well in the... he's been kind of presented really well since he's become US champion. And I think it seems like they're going towards a feud between Apollo and Big Kevin Owens, so yeah, I think this is all going all right as long as Apollo wins at Backlash, I think.
Hmm. The Stone Mountain Proud, such a cool name to hail from. The Viking Raiders and Street Profits draw 5-5 in a decathlon. Later, we get a tag match pitting the Raiders against Lashley and MVP. The heels win, and Lashley continues assault until Drew claymores his face off. So I skipped the amusing segment this week. How was it, Ross?
Well, I'm a mug, right? Because I do these WTF moments. And I was sat there going, because the first thing they did was a 1,600-meter dash. So I was thinking, first of all, is that an Olympic event? I don't think it is. And then Montez Ford got out of his lane, and I was going, well, he got out of his lane, therefore he would have been disqualified. And then they went and did other bollocks that just... it's gone too far now. I enjoyed the first few, but now it's like... Oh, well, let's wrestle. I was just thinking it was a bit silly how, you know, we're doing Olympic-themed things here and we didn't do wrestling on this wrestling show. Do the Olympic event called wrestling. I don't know. I'm past it now. Jack?
I was really annoyed as soon as they started tallying up the decathlon, and I remember that a decathlon is 10 events because they were obviously going to draw 5-5. So I'm guessing that to settle it, they're going to have a match now. Well, why couldn't they have a match... before all of this, I don't get it. And they're probably just going to end up friends, aren't they? Which is fine. Is one of them the tag team? Are the Street Profits the tag team champions?
Yes, they are.
Are they? Well, I totally didn't.
It's good that you didn't know that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Not them, but the best, do you? But I. Whatever they're selling right now, I'm not necessarily buying. But what's something positive about Raw and SmackDown? Asuka. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
what's
your positive thing? She lost, though. She lost.
No. Positive thoughts. Pretend she won. What's your positive thing, Ross? So we can. When people say you were too negative, we can go, no, we like this one thing.
Sorry, were you talking to me?
Yes, I was. What's one positive thing from Raw or SmackDown that you like this week?
From Raw or SmackDown? I liked the card, Matthew. The card of Raw on paper was incredibly, incredibly strong. But I'm going to caveat that with a negative. It fell really, really flat. I want to do it, Matthew. How do we have a card that had all of that great stuff on it, apart from Street Profits and Viking Raiders? Apart from that, the rest of the card we looked on paper was amazing, and it just felt so... Bleh, and I don't know why. I don't know how that's possible. Weird.
And Jack, your positive thing of the week for WWE.
The wrestling has been largely good. Charlotte and Asuka was really good until the finish. And I liked Bayley and Sasha winning the tag belts.
Sorry, what match?
Charlotte and Asuka. Oh, God. He's going to be in trouble by the end of this.
Saving on me leggy, Bill. AEW, FTR make their in-ring debut and beat the Butcher and the Blade, while having a tense stare down with the Bucks and Omega and Hangman. Also, Ali doesn't seem to be the Butcher and Blade anymore. She's now QT Marshall's girlfriend. Yeah, that happened a while ago, and it's odd.
We don't know why.
She's just so attractive, she says. And she highlights his hair and how nice his hair is. And I didn't even notice QT's hair until she pointed it out. It's balding in a circle. So he's still got hair here. But there's just nothing there, and then there's hair.
He's just had hair plugs put in.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that'd be why he's got like a hair island on a bald sea.
He must be waiting for it to grow out. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That explains it.
Well, I could see the attraction. Meanwhile, FTR, I think, had a very good match and looked good. They showed off every 80s double team move that they knew before getting the spike pile driver there. The Young Bucks came out afterwards and they were like, hey, you didn't shake our hands. And I don't know if that was supposed to be a reference to the whole Young Bucks got in trouble from Booker T and RVD and all the rest. And he went, yeah, by the way, we're the Young Bucks and we've single-handedly saved tag team wrestling on our backs by ourselves. And I'm like, what? He's supposed to be the good guys.
It's the Bucks, though. They're cocky, aren't they?
Yeah.
They have been known for their cocks, you know? But yeah, apart from that, was a good debut. FTR, whatever it stands for. What about you, Jack?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It's the best Butcher and the Blade match that I've seen. I'm just excited that FTR are there. They're really, really good. And I hope they batter the Young Bucks and make them humble.
Well, I'm sure we're all looking forward to that. Ross?
Yeah, I was more intrigued by... It was Cash Wheeler during the entrance went... towards Arn and Tully and Sean Spears in the crowd. And a lot of people online, I just think it's fans more than insiders, have been going, oh, maybe Sean Spears with his magical new glove, he's getting his own version of the Four Horsemen.
No.
So
no.
If FTR are going to be involved in that, and maybe Arn turns on a dickish Cody, who knows? I'd like to see it, but I thought that was intriguing. I enjoyed the match. I love the Butcher. The Butcher does something for me that nobody in AEW, no other AEW roster member does for me. There's something magical about that man. And his head.
He's got a giant head, like. If Sean Spears joins the Horsemen, Paul Roma's going to tweet out, lol. Anyway. Penelope Ford?
Not the way.
Oh, sorry. Penelope Ford gets a pinfall over women's tag champion Hikaru Shida in a tag match after hitting another belt. Some people are very surprised there, but I think Penelope's been very good these last few weeks. We have a Kip Sabian. And afterwards, we see Darby Allin hanging out with his best friend, Tony Hawks. It turns out Darby Allin's special move when he's on his skateboard is the bail.
But he had magical clothing too. He put his magical jacket on, he nailed it first time. Magical clothing. We need to buy some. Everyone, you'll be fine.
Can I just Can I point out? I think there's something really sinister about this, because do you remember a few weeks ago when I nominated Bob Burnquist for the Hall of Fame?
Yes, you did. And he was in Tony Hawk's.
Since then, I've seen so much to do with skateboarding. I think it's been like the whatever year anniversary of the start of the Tony Hawk franchise. And there's been so many recommended things for me to do with skateboarding. And I just feel like there's some sort of sinister algorithm being pushed to that Tony Hawk's like paid top dollar for to get him relevant again. And now he's showing up everywhere. He's showing up on Dynamite. It's really weird.
So not only is Sean Spears going to join the Four Horsemen, not only maybe Darby Allin as Jagged, but also Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Man, I'm loving the idea of it now. Speaking of evil things, Colt Cabana loses to Sammy Guevara and seems to be offered a place in the Dark Order. And then he seems to accept it because he realizes he's not doing very well. Ooh, intrigue. Sammy then clashes with Matt Hardy on the mic. Joey Janela is now aligned with Sonny Kiss in, I don't know, supposedly Joey Janela gets drunk and then gets picked up by Sonny Kiss. And I think that was just, I'm not even sure I was supposed to make air, but the record, because it's just a day in the life of Joey Janela. And Cage destroys Moxie in the car park. Developments everywhere, in a couple of letters it says here. Yeah, there's stuff happening on AEW.
What do we make of Matt Hardy's transition at a live event? How he goes from gimmick to gimmick just by going...
It's very effective and cheap.
I didn't know what to make of it.
He should carry a big box around with him and go, hang on, 2 seconds. They just change
it. It's crap in it. It's crap in it. I'm a different man. Oh, I'm back there.
It's funny because they all treat it serious. Like, my heart has changed. Like, wait.
Like Triple H when Mick Foley's like, you may have beaten Mankind, but... And then imagine if Foley went...
I think you know the guy. Cody defeats Mark Quinn in his open challenge before a huge show closing brawl leads to Cody offering Hager a shot at the TNT title for Fighter Fest. Not sure how that worked out, but Mark Quinn looked alright until he played off his ankle being hurt from last week and then proceeded to go, well, I better not use this much. And then every move he did after that involved his ankle. You know I'm right.
I've said on Graded yesterday that this was divisive and I loved it. I thought he did really, really well with his selling. Because every time he used it, it hurt more. And by the end of the match, he was like crawling. And then it just took Cody one submission to put him away. I thought it was genius, Matthew. I thought it was genius.
You're right. If Johnny Gargano had done that and then, you know, continue the match anyway, then with a small package, you're right. Well, we'll be giving it 5 stars.
If Sid had done it, you'd have been like, oh, brilliant from Sid there.
If Sid hit a moonsault, you're damn right.
Ross, what did you... Please settle this argument.
I am numb to selling in professional wrestling. I didn't know. I didn't pick up on it. Because you see everyone doing it, don't you? No selling and selling and no selling and
he
selling.
He wasn't no selling. He wasn't. I thought he was really good. I was very impressed.
I think it was one move to the knee that finished the match, though. I like that. Because it wasn't even Cody's regular move, was it? I think he might have debuted that move just for that match. Arn's little cards work. I like that little touch into the injured body part.
Aye. But do you not think, if you're a wrestler, all right, how about you do any other move apart from the one where you land right on your ankle?
He's inexperienced.
Well, cause that's why he's not the TNT champion, right? And NXT, that other show that's on Wednesdays. Gargano and Candice get a measure of revenge for their losses at TakeOver, beating Lee and Yim in a mixed tag. Or was it a mixed reaction? What do you think, Jack?
It was okay. I don't know what else to say.
That's all I got, really. Yeah. Cameron Grimes is scheduled to face Finn Balor, but he mocks Priest for losing to Balor and gets smacked in the face for being a cheeky boy. He claims Priest has broken his jaw, but Regal catches him lying about it and forces him to face Balor, who beats him. Balor targets Keith Lee and the North American title afterwards. Any thoughts there, Ross?
I haven't seen this bit because I have work to do outside of watching NXT, so Jack?
It's just a bit of one of those little storylines that doesn't seem like the most important thing, but it leads somewhere on a weekly show. So it was all right. I'm just surprised that... I feel like this episode was good, generally, but had a lot of stuff in it that was kind of filler for what should have been the fallout of Charlotte losing. But she didn't show up, so don't know.
Sorry, though, there was one good thing happened on the show. Drake Maverick congratulates El Fantasma on his win, but they're interrupted by the Lucha Kidnappers. They get ready to fight, but Fantasma swerves Drake and they all beat him down. The henchmen and mask reveal themselves as Aral Mendoza, him of the Cruiserweight Classic from years ago that was kept around for, why not? And Joaquin Wild?
Yeah.
Zima Ion. I can never get that Joaquin Wild. Sorry, pal. And Fantasma also unmasks, very surprising for Luchador. It says his name is now Santos Escobar. It says Matthew breathes a sigh of relief. Is this so I don't get mixed up with El Fantasma from Australia? Okay, fair enough then.
From Australia? Canadian.
Canadian, Jesus.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
He wrestled in Australia.
Yes.
Don't Google it. Just take my word for it. So, yeah, this was interesting. I went online and saw what people's reactions were. People were very confused. Some people seemed to go, WWE are going to be doing a Pablo Escobar gimmick, right down the name, because, you know, Colombia and Mexico are very close together. Any thoughts there, Jack? The only person who watches NXT.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I'm a big fan of his, and I was since Lucha Underground, but it seems a name like, I think of an example, like Evan Bourne, how suddenly, like the Bourne films were big around that time, and suddenly they're calling him Evan Bourne. It feels like one of those names that's too close to a famous name.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's a bit too unoriginal for me. But I think he's really good, and I think he's probably better as a heel, so I'm excited for that.
I mean, you're right. If they'd done this when Narcos was on Netflix,
right?
Proper Narcos, yeah. Was like, oh yeah, get in. everyone buying shirts with Pablo's face. Yeah, Escobar. and Dexter Lumis creeps out Roderick Strong throughout the episode. Adam Cole beats him in the main event, but a post-match brawl breaks out between Lumis, Velveteen Dream, and the Undisputed Era. Yay. Cole is left alone with his belt, but is interrupted by Scarlett, who turns over an hourglass and leaves it in the ring with him. Devious mind games, it says here. Cole has not resorted to that, but I'll tell you, you can tell him now. Oh, I see. Cole's still fighting for this title. And Karrion Kross has got to go to Full Sail and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if Cole beats him. Love it. And I've even got the headphones on as well.
Yeah. You should be holding one of them.
Yeah. You tell him. When you do a thing like that to Stuart Pearce. Every week we bring that up, and I swear there's every week people go, what is this promo they're talking about?
Have we ever explained
it? It's Newcastle United's version of the Hard Times promo.
That's it is.
Kevin Keegan was not on this episode, sadly, but any thoughts there on the main event bit in NXT?
Yeah, it's fine.
There's
rumours that Cross is just going to batter Adam Cole and become the champion. And I kind of like it, I suppose.
Yes. Please.
Oh, I like
bored.
Uncool.
I'm so bored of Undisputed Era running everything for years. It's been years, Jack. You need to move. Come on. At least do Undisputed Era Wolfpack or something. God. But more importantly, you being the Puro guy, New Japan has announced a return to wrestling.
It has.
Any thoughts there? You excited?
So it's I am very excited actually. It's announced so there's going to be a mystery show, kind of like Progress's unboxing, but all the matches will be announced at bell time at the start of the show. The New Japan Cup is going to happen, and then it all ends with a two-header, which is going to be the final of the New Japan Cup, and then the very next day Dominion, and the winner of the New Japan Cup gets a shot at Naito. There's some big names in the New Japan Cup: Okada, Ishii, you know, Ibushi, and Gabriel Kidd.
Get in.
Can
Has
you
he been over
it?
There all that time?
Apparently
I would
so.
Have been. He wouldn't be able to travel, but oh, I hadn't thought about that, yeah.
He, his mum will be missing him.
Oh, man. We should all DM after the show saying, hope you're all right.
Well, he is. He's got Ishimori in the first round. I'm not sure. So he's against
Ishimori.
He's against a junior, but he's probably going to get stiff.
He's going to get his head kicked in. Yeah. Well, nice knowing you, kid. watch you win and we'll look like idiots.
Yeah.
Good. The other news, not news, of wrestling this week, it was Jay Hunter's birthday.
Oh.
The lad from OSW. And he's 37.
Oh, no.
The little lad looks like he's in his 20s. So you can sod off, Jay. Have your lovely day.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Hey, good for you. It turns out healthy living's good for you, but I'll never know that way of life. And we'll conclude with that.
Let's have a rummage in our mail bags.
Time to have a little rummage in our mailbag. And it's... Oh, get in. It's a favourite recurring character on the show right now. Dylan from Turkey Update says, hello, guys. We usually criticise WWE for not sustaining storylines. Therefore, I'm sending you this mail to further my storyline in the evening of Wednesday, in brackets, because I know you record your podcast on Thursday. What a nice guy. Up to the present, I get neither a tweet nor a DM from my fellow countrymen. I hope Jack's skepticism doesn't become the reality, but I think it has. Thanks to you guys, I feel like the Otis of Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast. I asked just a question and had my own storyline. I even featured in last week's SmackDown's WTF moments. Well, shout out to said storyline. Oh, that was nice. This is my last mail to you guys until something new happens. Thank you very much for both your great content and this last week of some back and forth with some of the most entertaining wrestling YouTubers. Cheers, everybody. Dylan. Aww.
Thank you, Dylan. Great.
I think your cynicism was well-founded there, Jack. But
the guy's just gone off the radar now he found out he was a boy.
Catfishing, tell you, man. But yeah, well, that was nice. It means that my new favourite recurring segment on Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast is Dog Boatman. So I hope we see more of him in this episode. Mailbag number two, diddle high, diddle low, diddle hey, diddle ho, diddlers. I hope I said that right because I'm not saying it again. Hope you're all doing well in this current environment. Recently, R-Truth won back his 24/7 title for the X number of times I cannot even remember. But it got me thinking. Despite that at times entertaining feud between Drake and Truth for the 24/7 title, it could have been more than an R-Truth prop or roll-up title. And that made me think, coupled with the latest every NXT champion tier list, what is the best or most memorable title reign, or even your favourite title reign? For me, and it's maybe because I grew up during this prime and he's my favourite, Cena's September 06 to October 07 title reign is my favourite. He had a great feud that was culminating when he won back the title in the TLC match against Edge, an underrated short feud of Umaga, fantastic last man standing match at the 07 Rumble, then excellent feud of HBK, WrestleMania 23 till Backlash, which involved Edge and Orton in a four-way, a somewhat surprisingly good, in my opinion, mini feud with Carly, then a mix of superstars, okay, he had a good feud. I think that reign gets overlooked because of the start of his prime and Super Cena phase, but I found it pleasantly enjoyable. I would love to know your thoughts on your favourite title reign in any company, for any title, for any superstar. Stay safe, stay well, and thank you for your content. From Waleed.
That's a really good question.
That is a good question from a good
name.
That
could be a big question, that.
Best title reign.
I can think of a few.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to go with Rob Van Dam's TV title reign. Because that was presented so well, Mr. Monday Night, Mr. Paper, you know, Spin Kick and all that. And yeah, he felt like such a big deal. It felt like when he came out, it was the Rob Van Dam portion of the show. And he had that TV title at the same standards as the world title. And he held it for middle of 98. He beat Bigelow. And he had to lose it via injury start of 2000. So well over a year and a bit. Some good maths there. 2 years.
Fair enough.
Jack, say something.
I've got a few off the top of my head. Asuka in NXT. That was really, really good. Bayley in NXT as well, actually. I was a big fan of hers. What was the other one that I was thinking of? John Cena with the US title. That was a good one. Yeah. With the open challenge and everything.
Well, if you like that one, Cody's doing it on AEW.
Well, yeah, that's going well. Jericho's AEW one was fantastic as well, to be fair, even though it's a bit recent. And, oh, I'll say one more. Maybe, you know when there's title reigns that don't last very long, but they just feel right? You're like, the right person has the belt, it's the right time for this. And I think, looking back, probably Eddie Guerrero's, even though it didn't last very long and it probably wasn't as good as it should have been, when Eddie had the belt, it just felt like the right thing at the right time.
Well said. Ross?
Thank you.
The first one that popped in my head, might just be because they mentioned the NXT tier list, was Kevin Owens with the NXT title. And mainly just because of that little bit he had with John Cena, how he just went up there. Big John Cena. I know we had been through Cena versus Lesnar at SummerSlam, but Cena was still pretty much untouchable. And then Owens was like, no, I'm not putting up with your crap. Bosh. Elimination Chamber happened, and then other stuff as well.
That was such a good build-up. Yeah, because it was during the Cena US title reign, I believe, and he went, ah, I beat Sami Zayn last week. And Kevin Owens showed up for NXT and goes, no, I hurt Sami Zayn last week. Don't you take credit for it. Wonderful. And yeah, RVD held it for 700 days. So, a long time. Last time we saw each other, in fact. Howdy diddlers. First of all, want to say thank you for all the content during lockdown, as it's made hours daily just fly by, and I well and truly appreciate it. Secondly, want to mention how a whole bunch of us on the Facebook fan page have come together to have weekly Zoom calls, and it's really through you guys, and it was even possible. So thank you, as now I have many more wrestling fans to discuss the ongoings with.
Finally, my question to
you... Oh no, they're talking.
Yeah.
Finally, my question to you all is, out of all wrestlers who had multiple theme songs, who has the best collection of songs? For me, it's Triple H with King of Kings, The Game, My Time, The Evolution, and DX's all being some of the best ever, in my opinion. Many thanks, guys, from Ali Hamza, Gillingham, Kent. Oh, well, Ali, if you want to invite... If you want to invite... oh, shut up. No, he's from Arkansas, Kent. well, Ali, if you want to invite Dylan from Turkey, I'm sure you'd appreciate the love right now. Good one.
Oh, into the, so, what, into the fan group? Yeah, get Dylan in the fan group.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Sorry, anyway. I got excited there.
Yeah, so excited for these things. Just to get messages last and the phone.
It's like when you when you find a key earlier on in a game and then you use it on a door three levels later. Oh,
do you have, and it appears in a different colour, do you have the red key? I'm like, yeah, I do. Ross, what's your best collection of?
For one, I'm going to go for Jericho. You start all the way back with the Even Flow cover, which was top draw. One of the best wrestling themes of all time. obviously, his WWE one is iconic in its own right. I even like the Saliva King of My World. I like that beginning bit of Survivor Series 2002 where it's like all guitars and wow and all that malarkey. And then Judas, obviously, has been played endlessly since the middle of 2017, so that must be quite good as well.
That's true, and there's Sammy Guevara's cover of Judas.
Yeah.
Jack, have you got one? Because I've got one.
Jericho was mine, but Eddie, I'm just mentioning, but Eddie Guerrero's what was quite good. I'll go for, oh, it's difficult, isn't it? No, I don't want to go for CM Punk either, because he only had two, really, didn't he? I can't think.
It's a big question.
I can help you, yes. Mine's on. Edge. The Brood. You Think You Know Me. Red Groovy, Never Gonna Stop. And Sean Spears. Bow, bow, nah, nah. No. Metal Anus.
Metal Anus?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the name of the band.
Yeah.
Now, is it Alter Bridge?
It's Alter Bridge, yeah.
Alter Bridge, Metal Anus. There we go. I almost look silly there. Jack, have you got any, or should we move on?
I'll go for Steve Blackman.
Oh, they have two bangers. Did you know this? Because Tom said this on the SmackDown podcast we do. Hi, Tom. I forget the name of the song now, but the one with Styx is part of an 18-minute song, and it's the third movement.
No?
It's crazy drum-based techno thing.
Wow.
I can't remember the name of it now, but see Blackman's entrance full, and you see it, you go, 18 minutes? Because, yes, that's how long the whole thing is.
Do you think it's Prince Nassim?
Oh, good reference.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all. So when I was a kid, my parents took my whole family to WrestleMania 30. When I was a kid. God. And it was great. Seeing Daniel Bryan win the main event was really special. But before that, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. For some context, my stepmom has absolutely no idea about wrestling. In brackets, but she popped for The Rock. Mm. And when Bray made his entrance, she was confused and also cringed a lot. My family being from the middle of nowhere, Louisiana, I thought she would be used to seeing a southern creepy cult, but I guess not. I was so embarrassed because I was so passionate about wrestling, I could tell she thought it was dumb. Which leads me to my question. What was the most embarrassing thing you've had to explain / watch with a non-wrestling fan? P.S. Are there any grammar or spelling errors in this email? Just know I slipped and fell in the shower earlier. My head was bleeding, so I might have a concussion. Love from Claire.
Careful, Claire.
I'm sorry to hear that, Claire. I'm glad that you had the peace of mind and your priority was to send us an email, though. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Rubber mats. We'll be all right.
Rubber mats is the answer.
Absolutely, yeah. So what's the most embarrassing thing you've had to explain / watch with a non-wrestling fan? I think we've had a variation of this question a bunch of times, but I've got one if you guys are thinking.
Go on then, Matthew.
I've thought of it a few times, but when first wrestling show I saw was at Butlins, and I had Dean Allmark in the opener, and he's still Gannon, bless him. But the main event was the UK Undertaker, which for people of a certain age meant a lot. I know it's ridiculous now, the UK Undertaker, but UK Undertaker, it was advertised as the UK Undertaker versus a bunch of people, some army guy. I think it was like general knowledge or something. And this was in 2000, but it was still proper early 90s Undertaker. So he had the big coat and hat and purple trim and all that. So he came out and we're all like, Undertaker, UK Undertaker. Don't care if it's the UK version, still want to see the Undertaker thing. So he comes out, smoke machine, Ganraj, looks like Phoenix Knight, please welcome the Undertaker. And he comes out and all the parents, including me mum, start creasing laughing. like folded over laughing like, what's this? And we're all, me and my brother, shut up mum, shut up. It's a UK Undertaker, you're laughing at. He's beaten the greats, UK Hogan, UK Warrior, the actual Marty Jannetty. What about you, Ross?
Mine just goes back to watching Raw on a Thursday night on Sky, and Mom walking in every single time there was any sort of scantily clad lady, and me having to just turn around and just go, change the channel. Shouldn't be looking at that, Jack.
I can't think of a specific one. No, I can't. My mum got, for some reason, despite showing no interest in wrestling all through my life, she decided to get into World of Sport when it was on ITV. But she was actually quite receptive to it and positive. So I'd get texts every week from her being like, hope Grado wins. She bloody loved Grado a lot. Yeah, she just really wanted Grado to win. But apart from that, I can't think of anything other than my parents' general apathy towards wrestling. But now my mum's a big fan of Grado, so there we go.
Also, I think I got the best of Remember they did the Best of Raw, Volume 1 and 2, like in 2000, maybe 99? When I got that, recapped a bunch of stuff. And my dad came up and said, what are you watching? I'm like, oh, wrestling. Like, all right. And it was just as Owen Hart was talking to Jason Sensation, who would come out and do impressions of the wrestlers. And it's just as Owen Hart yelled, you thought that was funny? How about I come down there and slap the piss out of you? And he yelled piss. And now it's like, he was like, what? And my dad was like, no, not in this house. My dad, the Quaker. Anyway, thank you very much for the lovely selection of questions there. If you have any on your random thoughts or any storylines, we can progress here, because this is the meat of the show. I've had the two bits of bread of the Cultaholic sandwich. This is the meat. Please send them to mailbag@cultaholic.com. Reese's Pieces. I think this return after a week off. Hi, lads. Scottish listener living in Perth, Australia. Ooh. Got a cheeky Reese's Pieces for you. I want to hear your picks between these famous matches and their sequels. So, ooh, as always, fastest thought first. We'll go Ross, Jack, me. John Cena versus The Rock, WrestleMania 28 or WrestleMania 29?
28.
28's a good one, I'm sure.
It's 28, isn't it? Yeah. 29's where The Rock injured himself. 28, Ross. Yeah. Stupid prick.
Called you, held you there like, no, it's 28. It's 28. Come get in the headlock and we'll call the spot. Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. WrestleMania 25 or WrestleMania 26?
25.
Right. 25 is a better match, but I prefer 26 for the whole story around it.
WrestleMania 25, because we all watched it with our mates in Preston, and we all thought Undertaker was deed. Kenny Omega versus... Oh, yeah, right. Kenny Omega versus Okada. Wrestle Kingdom 11 or Dominion 2018?
Dominion.
That first Wrestle Kingdom one, even though it wasn't as epic, is one of my favourite matches ever. So the first one.
Dominion 2018, because one of those rare matches where people said, you need to watch it, it's really good, and I watched it, and it was actually really good.
Oh, did you like it?
Aye.
I thought you wouldn't like it because it was so long.
No, there had to be long after being built up. I mean, this had, what, like a year build up?
Maybe more, yeah.
Maybe more. I mean, that makes sense. It's like every second week or so you have that long a match. It's like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
TLC 1 or TLC 2?
2.
2?
1's better, but nothing's beating WrestleMania 7 as a memory. Undertaker versus Lesnar, No Mercy 02 or Hell in a Cell 15?
02.
I loved Hell in a Cell 15.
It is good, isn't it?
Oh. CM Punk versus John Cena, Money in the Bank 2011 or Raw 2013?
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, but that Raw one is excellent as well.
I'm going to say Raw just because it's... I think it's like one of these matches where when I care about star ratings, someone said it's a 5-star match, and I went, what, on Raw, randomly? And watch it and goes, all right, first pile driver in 20 years. Undertaker versus Edge, WrestleMania 24 or SummerSlam 2008?
WrestleMania.
The Mania one.
Mania one. Batista versus Triple H, WrestleMania 21 or WrestleMania 35?
35, all day long. Nose rings and everything.
The one when they're younger, but for comedy value, 35. It's got the entrances. It's got Batista slipping over. It's got the nose ring. It's brilliant. It's got Xavier Woods freaking out to Batista's entrance as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what Jack said. Stone Cold versus The Rock, WrestleMania X7 or WrestleMania 19?
17. Ooh.
17, but I love the bittersweet nature of Austin's last match as well.
Just one more fight. Shawn Michaels versus Jericho, WrestleMania 19 or No Mercy 2008.
Oof, that's tough. Whoa, 19 was the best match on the card, wasn't it? Well, Jericho's opinion.
Was No Mercy the ladder match?
Say again?
Was No Mercy the ladder match?
Yes.
I'll go for that one.
God, that feud in 08 was so good. I'm going to go with that one. Styles versus Cena, SummerSlam 16 or Rumble 17?
Rumble.
Rumble.
Yeah, Rumble. Shield versus Evolution, Extreme Rules, or Payback in 2014?
Can't remember either of them.
Oh, can you not?
Nah.
Oh.
They were good.
The one where they just beat them, the elimination one where they beat them 3-0.
Oh, I can't remember which one it was.
So there was one where it was elimination and the Shield, all of them survived and eliminated all of Evolution. But Triple H got a few minutes of bravely Triple H-ing about on his own, but
yeah, of course
the Shield still won. The Shield still won.
Yeah, yeah. Gargano's dad. I'm going to do Extreme Rules 2014. Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan, Rumble 2014 or Rumble 2020?
2014? Was that the strap match at this year? It seems so long ago.
It was. It does feel like a long time ago, but yes, that was the strap match.
I'll go
14 as well.
Yeah, 14. I wasn't that big of a fan of the 20 match. Sami Zayn versus KO, TakeOver Arrival or Battleground 2016?
Oh, Battleground.
Yeah, Battleground.
Lesnar versus Cena, Extreme Rules 2012 or SummerSlam 2014?
Oh, the SummerSlam one. Oof.
Yeah, the SummerSlam one.
They were both really good, but SummerSlam just... Because no one expect... Well, I say no one. I wasn't expecting it.
I can't remember the first one.
That's one where Lesnar just returned, had that match, and he lost to Cena straight away. And everyone threw their hands up and goes, why would you do that? I haven't seen it in years, but it was my favourite match of the year, so I might have to rewatch it. Punk versus Jericho, WrestleMania 28, or Payback 2013?
WrestleMania.
I don't remember the Payback one, so I'll go for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't remember the Payback one either. Angle versus Lesnar, WrestleMania 19, or SmackDown 03, the Iron Man match?
Iron
Man.
That's a tricky one, but I'll go for the Iron Man as well.
No, the Iron Man, I don't think the main event has aged very well, considering they're both trying to not hurt each other. And then hilarity ensued. Thanks, lads. Cammy. And that's a lovely Reese's Pieces.
Chris?
You know what?
I don't know, Jeff.
Oh, right.
The football's back soon. I know that it's questionable in terms of, like, is it safe or not, but my fantasy team's raring and ready to go. I can't wait. Can't wait.
You know, last week you surprised us with a 90s quiz. You know, I've got here a bunch of questions I made up 20 minutes before this started.
You're not.
You want to do it? That's great. It's a general 90s quiz for both Jack and Ross. Some you can
see it more aimed
at one or the other.
Wait, it's 90s football or just 90s?
No, 90s in general, as you'll see, there's a mix.
Oh, crap.
No, don't worry.
You should have done 2000s for us. We're younger.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm going to ask them anyway. I can already see this dying on its ass. Who played the role of Games Master in Games Master?
Who's starting off?
Jack.
I've got no idea.
I've got no idea.
Right. I'll take a stab at Michael Barrymore.
Jesus. I'll go Roy Walker.
I'm off to the races. You know what? It was Roy Walker. good guess. Name any two live
Who
and
was
kicking
it?
It was Patrick Moore. Any two live and kicking presenters.
Oh my God! The names have gone. Cat Deely. Was it? No, I've got no idea, Matthew. End the segment,
Jack.
I don't know, Matthew.
Live and kicking. Jamie Theakston.
Yes, that's one.
Thank God for that. Kirsty O'Brien?
Zoe Ball. No.
Zoe Ball's another one. There you go. You both got a point.
Bloody hell.
On the 10th of January, 95, Andy Cole was sold to Manchester United for £6 million. And which player?
Is that for Jack?
Yeah, it should have been for you, but whatever.
Who replaced Andy? Was it Keith Gillespie? I don't know.
It was Keith Gillespie. Oh. Well done. A genuine point that time. Well done. To Ross. Oh, well. Richard O'Brien was the first presenter of the Crystal Maze. Who was the second?
Richard Ayoade?
Jack?
Don't know.
Ed Tudor Pole. It's an amazing name. Right. Who's a singer or something? Which former EastEnders actor hosted Fort Boyard?
Dirty Den.
Oh,
that's right. Alex had that for a point.
Leslie Grantham.
Yeah, okay, even better. Ross, which was the Spice Girls' first number one hit single?
Oh,
Oh, wannabe.
Yes, well done.
Is it? Wow. Yes.
This is the 90s one, but I struggle at this point. Jack, which two Newcastle United players start fighting each other during a game with Aston Villa?
Kieran Dyer and Lee Boyer.
Oh, there
that's
we
a
go.
That's a naughty question, that.
It is, but whatever. Ross, this is because of Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury fight being announced. Who did Lennox Lewis defeat to become the undisputed heavyweight champion in 99?
Mike Tyson.
Jack?
Is it not Mike Tyson?
It's not, no.
Holyfield.
It is Evander Holyfield, that's right. Jack, Neil Buchanan presented Art Attack. Can you name the other show he presented on CITV?
Ooh.
No, that's a... No, but I'm interested to know what it is.
He may have been -3 when it was on, now I think about it. Ross?
Haven't got a clue.
Finders Keepers.
Oh.
What was that about? Okay. And finally, which soap, UK TV, had the best theme song opener?
The Brookside.
That's right. Go on.
Brookside.
Is right, Ross. Well
it
done.
It is correct. Absolute scenes.
Oh.
We didn't even plan that. It just generally
no,
is the best
No, you can't
theme.
Tell, can you? It's like Badilla Skinner. You have to ask your mum and dad about that one, Jack. Well, that was a spectacular failure. But thank
no,
you very much
right.
for watching that segment of the show. And if you have any Reese's Pieces, please, please, please keep them to yourself or send them to mailbag@cultaholic.com.
It's Cultaholics.
Big question.
Wow, what a lovely podcast. Big question is, sadly, why is Edge versus Randy Orton the greatest wrestling match ever? Their words, not ours.
I've just remembered something huge that I've not mentioned for the rest of this podcast.
No, Edge versus Orton is that the greatest wrestling match ever. We're about to talk
I
about.
Got a massive follow on Twitter the other day. It's Brock Lesnar's daughter.
All right.
Legit, because she's followed by other wrestlers. I had to look like who else follows this person that you follow. It's actually Brock Lesnar's daughter.
What's her name? We'll see if she follows me.
I can't remember her name. Know. I think it might be Maya or Mia. Maya.
Okay.
Maya Lesnar.
Brock.
M-I-A.
No, M-Y-A.
Oh, M-Y-A.
Lesnar. That's ironic.
Everyone stops. What
it's Maya Lesnar.
It's Maya Lesnar. Does
she
doesn't
follow me?
She doesn't follow me.
Oh.
I've never liked her.
Follows Kenny, Gabriel Kidd, Pachiti, Joe Hendry. Oh.
She a big WCPW fan?
Must be.
She's a glorious supporter.
That's a weird combination of people. Anyway,
yeah,
shout out to...
We agree.
Shout out to Maya Lesnar.
Dropping names everywhere.
I'm never saying anything bad about Brock ever again.
Well, you're dropping the names there, Jack. Would you like to drop us your opinion about why Edge is the greatest wrestling match ever?
So I'm actually going to try and answer this seriously, as in, like, why have they decided to bill it as the greatest match ever? Is it just to laugh at dirt sheets and internet fans who always debate what's the best match ever? Is it just to say, haha, look at how stupid you are? Because if so, they've done a good job in riling everyone up, including Edge, who has tweeted things like, just sung my daughter the best lullaby ever and just had the greatest cup of coffee ever. He seems quite annoyed. But I honestly, it's a mystery to me, Matthew. What do you think?
I was going to say, people have speculated that. But you watch TV, they're treating it like it is going to be the actual greatest wrestling match ever. So if it was tongue-in-cheek, like I said a few weeks ago, if they start the match, bell rings, and Orton just gets DQ'd straight away or pins him with a RKO, and that's it.
I would love it. I would love
Great.
It.
Great. Funny. We get it. And instead, it's like they're trying to do two things at once. They are trying to take the mickey out of the idea of bigging up a match. But they're also asking you to watch the match because it's going to be great. And you can't do both. It's trying to put the opposite magnets together. Just go like that, lapel.
Meltzer's been saying that apparently it is very good, which is the worst case scenario because it's not going to seem that good because it's been billed as the greatest match ever.
I don't get it. I'm not going to pretend to get it. I don't get a lot of things WWE does. I just want to sit down, watch it and go, all right, that were good. Or, ooh, that was a bad miss. And move on with my life. What about you, Ross? You're more sensible.
Am I? I hypotheses, but apparently this could have been a match potentially for Saudi Arabia, where they do the greatest Royal Rumble and the biggest Battle Royal ever, and potentially the greatest match ever. So I'm adding to this hypothesis, right? I reckon they've got the license, the copyright, the whatever for that song they're using for the pay-per-view, and I reckon it runs out on Monday morning, right? So I reckon a Saudi Arabia event would have happened if the whole pandemic wasn't going on in the world right now. And Edge versus Randy Orton with the greatest theme song ever for the greatest match ever would have been taking place on that card. So I reckon they've just gone, well, we've paid for it, we're going to use it. Backlash is on Sunday, we'll use it there. That is ironclad. 100% facts.
That's pretty good, actually. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
But what is the theme? Is it Mike?
It's the greatest show.
Is this the greatest, greatest?
No, it's no. It's Hugh Jackman. This is the greatest show.
It's a cover by a band. Is it Fall Out Boy?
I think Panic at the Disco did one.
Panic at the Disco.
Well, they're the greatest emo band of all ever. Whatever, mess that up.
My mate, who's not into wrestling, was once live tweeting WrestleMania 30, whichever one, when the Shield come out and batter Road Dogg and Kane and Billy. And he called them, because he knew nothing about it, he called them Panic at the Wrestling. But only Rollins looks like an emo out of those three, surely.
Even then, it's a push.
I don't know. So Chris, if you're listening, he's not. He's got a son now. He's got other things to concentrate on. Fair enough.
He grew out of wrestling. What a freak. Edge and Orton had some good matches in 2004. That was a long time ago. A lot of people like Edge. A lot of the appeal of Edge's comeback, though, was it was going to be in front of loads of screaming, adoring Edge fans and Edge heads. They're not going to be here. It's only going to be as good as it can be. Given the circumstances, I wish them well, but I think it was Boss Mars or someone who was just as funny on Twitter who said they should have just done a Tom McGee and then not released it. And they just have talking heads go, God, it's a shame the camera broke recording it. It was the greatest wrestling match ever. And then years later, you upload it and go, oh, found it.
How do you actually think the match is going to go?
If it's at like WrestleMania, an hour and a half.
Yeah. Ross, how do you think the match?
I just think it'll be a really good throwback, like, you know, good old main event WWE wrestling match. But then the whole thing's subjective, isn't it? So if someone goes, oh, I genuinely think that's the greatest wrestling match of all time, you just got to go, yeah, but good for you on your opinion there.
Yeah.
I think it'll be so good, weird. But I just don't get it. I hope we do find out what the reason is in the future, because it's confusing.
It's so confusing. Silly. I think I'll learn the podcast on this note. I think it was Is All Right Now. It was another great Twitter account who said, I can't wait for them to do the rematch in Saudi Arabia so they can call it the greatest, greatest wrestling match ever.
Yeah. So well, strange.
We weren't lying. It was a great podcast. Hope we've been there for it. Oh, go on.
I'd love it if the Saudi kingdom or the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, because obviously they're still in their 80s phase where they want all these big names over and everything. Imagine if they suddenly got smarky and started requesting like Kobashi and like Kawada to come over. I just had an idea there. That would be really funny. Sorry, go on, Matthew.
Thank you. Any other closing thoughts, Ross, before we wrap it up?
Absolutely not, Matthew.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for watching all the way through at the very end. I've been Matthew. I have nothing to plug this week, but I hope you have a nice time. Jack, anything to plug?
Backlash predictions should be up around now, if not soon, tomorrow. But I think they'll already be up. And Rest of the Week is up today as well, so check that out.
Wahoo. Ross?
There will be a tier video, but I don't know what on. So all the best to you.
Good times. I'm not happy enough. Stay safe. Stay sane. Remember to immediately come off social media after you listen to us for a good hour or so. Go outside, have a jog. And until we see you next week, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands creepily to your camera. Thank you very much to the people who sent the photos of themselves doing this, by the way. And remember, on the count of three, pretend we're there with you, coughing and sneezing everywhere. On three, one, two, three, join us.
Join us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.